This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we go from some Cavs music to the dulcet tones of MLB opening day with the Guardians. Today is the day in beautiful, sunny Kansas City. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, MLB Network senior reporter as well, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ant, does it finally feel like opening day to you? I know they're not in Tokyo, so maybe it doesn't technically count.
Yeah, no, this is the real deal. We got 14 games on the slate, so yes, this is the real thing where you could just, if you're in my world, you just turn on MLB Network, ESPN, etc., and just let it fly all day. Love it.
We are pumped. We led the show talking about this, and there's a big discussion on the station here yesterday about whether the Guardians were going to be better than last year, worse than last year. I know, obviously, there were some key moves, and again, as they always will tend to do, they go younger and younger until they don't when they go bring in Carlos Santana. So overall, Ant, do you think it's fair right now where all the odds makers have them at about 81, 82 wins?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, you could tell me they repeat as division champs, and I'll believe you. You could tell me they finish fourth, and I'll believe you. It doesn't, you know, last year's team was a tremendous story. It never felt like it made sense, for them to go as far as they did. And it was a great, you know, thing to watch, but it never really made logical sense to you as a baseball observer. And it's almost like they said, well, hey, last year we got to the ALCS with one hand tied behind our back. Let's see if we can do it with our legs tied together too. it's kind of, having spent some time with them in spring training, when I left there, I felt better than when I walked in terms of their pitching depth. I think that sets up better than last year. I don't know how they're going to put points on the board. I think that the Nolan Jones trade late in the game was pretty interesting and pretty telling that they know they need some more thump in that lineup. You have to hit the ball over the wall. And they didn't have enough of that, in their profile, prior to that deal. So, hopefully he'll come through, but, it's going to be really fascinating to see, if they can, encounter the same magic that they engendered last year.
So a couple things on that. One, why do you feel better about the pitching now?
Because, I got to see up close for the first time a couple guys in the system that I had not seen previously. I think that a guy like Doug Nikhazy, for instance, who is important depth piece for them this year. Franco Alamaz is a monster. I went in thinking, all right, there's no way the bullpen's going to be as good as last year. Like, you just know that logically. And that's still true. It won't be as good as last year. It was historically good last year. And they leaned on their four big guys in the back end a tremendous amount when you add up the regular season and postseason. Like, historically rare, the amount of workload and the success that those guys had. And it's just not going to happen again. But, you know, they do have some arms in their system. They did make a conscious effort. What money they did invest in this product for 2025, you know, they invested in the bullpen with Paul Sewald, with Jacob Junis. So I think that while it won't be as good as last year, it can still reasonably be counted on to be pretty good. And the rotation should be better. You know, it comes in waves over the course of the season where, you know, Bieber's available to you. I'm thinking, you know, maybe early June. They signed John Means. He's available to you perhaps in August or so. So it's like the natural flow of the season being what it is in Major League Baseball, where guys are going to fall off the face of the earth. Like, that's what happens in baseball. Guys blow out their elbows all the time. And so it's good to have those, that line of reinforcements coming over the course of the calendar year.
On the Nolan Jones thing, did that kind of got the sense that came together quickly? Do you have any details on how that came about? Because it sort of seemed to come out of nowhere. I know it was a little bit of a surprise to bring him back. How did that come together?
Yeah, I don't know who approached who with that one. It was a very strange trade because, well, obviously, you know, Freeman and Jones just a few years back were kind of viewed, kind of rated similarly in their system, you know, in terms of their prospects. And since then, we've learned more about both of them. I think we've learned that Freeman is probably more of a complimentary piece than an everyday type player. I give him a lot of credit. You know, last year he took on center field for the first time. And yeah, it's a hard thing to do, change positions and, oh, by the way, try to figure out how to hit at the major league level. I think he's a very solid, you know, bench option for a good club. I think that's probably in the offing for him. I don't know that the Rockies are a good club. So I don't know. I found that strange from their perspective, just because we saw with Nolan Jones 2 years ago, it's a very good player in a limited sample. I think it was less than 400 at bats or right around there. And, you know, he looked like a, you know, he can get you double-digit homers, double-digit steals, you know, yeah. And that's a nice piece to have. And so I was surprised they punted on him so quickly after he, you know, battled injury issues last year. And maybe they know more about that than we do. But, you know, to trade him for Freeman, who I don't think has as much upside, you know, maybe neither of them ever reached their ceilings. But I do think Jones possesses more upside. So I just thought it was a surprising trade. I think a lot of people did.
Now, can they trade Schneeman to the Rays for Caminero and undo all of the trades that they would like to have?
Yeah, let's try to figure that one out. Let's sneak that one by the Rays. I don't know. I think Junior Caminero is going to have a lot of people in Cleveland, you know, banging their heads on the table this year.
I don't want to be unfair. They don't miss very often. At all.
No, they don't.
But that was a miss.
They've had a few, there's been a few cases in the last years with position players. And Nolan Jones is one of them where you're like, gosh, I mean, you know, that is the kind of thing that they've struggled. I always throw this out that they haven't drafted and developed a 25 homer outfielder since Manny Ramirez.
That's insane.
So, yeah. So it's just when you see a guy like Jones, he was doing it, you know, he's playing for Colorado, he's playing Coors Field. So that certainly augmented, you know, his numbers that year. But when you see him doing that, it's like, gosh, I mean, you know, you have this absolute superfluous number of middle infield types who all kind of look the same after a while, you know, and then you let that get away. So they got him back, and we'll see if they can, you know, they know him as well as anybody. As I said, they drafted him and they mostly developed him. So maybe they can get that out of him again.
Anthony Castrovince right now joining us on the hotline. So obviously it's going to look different. We used to have Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor back to back, and you talk about hitting the ball over the wall. I mean, those two could do it. So, you know, obviously Nolan Jones, it's part of making up for it, but Why were they so confident in the fact that even though they lost Josh Naylor, and he at times was heart and soul of the team, and his brother is obviously still on the team, that they feel confident they can move on without him?
I don't know. I think the ALCS team traded away the right-hand side of its infield. It's really that simple, and I can certainly, you know, I can talk myself through each move in isolation, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a big risk on their part. You know, Jimenez obviously was not hitting his weight in terms of that contract and where that contract is headed. So, I totally get behind making that move. It does take away, though. I mean, that was why they did what they did last year, because they were strong defensively and they protected leads. You know, that's why they got where they got. And you take away a huge piece of that. I think Jimenez is. It's strange to say this about a second baseman as opposed to a shortstop, but I think he's as good a defender as there is in baseball, maybe the best defender in baseball right now. But again, logically, yeah, I understand. If you're limited in resources, to have that amount of money tied up in that guy and that bat is a big risk. So I get making that move. The Naylor trade was unsurprising on its own, because I think we all identified him as well. You know, he's entering his last year arbitration, and that's not a guy they seem to want to lock up long term. I mean, it's crazy when you look back at Josh Naylor when he first got to Cleveland, and you know, he had that big playoff series in the COVID year against the Yankees, and you look back at photos, I mean, he's really ballooned. Like, he's not taking great care of himself, and obviously a big part of that is, you know, recovering from a major ankle malady. So but we saw last year that, streaky though he may be, I mean, it is a powerful bat, and he was a centerpiece of their lineup, and you take that away and immediately replace him with a guy who's almost my age and Carlos Santana. And like, yeah, I mean, that's a risk too, you know? And so I don't know if Santana can replicate what he did for the Twins last year. They certainly hope so, but I do have high hopes for Manzardo this year. I think he's going to mash, but my worry with Santana is just the specific situation where he's been a slow starter historically, and they're really going to have to lean on him quite a bit in these first couple months of the year, you know, before David Fry is available to them in the DH spot. I mean, you're going to see a lot of Carlos Santana, and you know, his splits, his right-handed, left-handed splits are, you know, a little shaky. So I just, I worry about him kind of getting worn out at age 39, you know, in the first couple months of the year.
We have breaking news. Anthony Castrovince, I heard your phone buzzing, so you probably just got this as well. Jeff Thomas ran in with it. Breaking news. The Guardians and the MLB announced cable partners. Folks, the Guardians will be on TV this year. Our long national nightmare has come to an end, as all local games will be widely available for fans on the following channels, and that will be Spectrum, either 306 or 1306, DirecTV, satellite and streaming, 662, AT&T UVerse, 736 and 1736, Cox, Channel 80, coveted Channel 80 on Cox. More information, we'll get it up on
and
the website.
Fubo TV
yeah, as
if
well.
If you go to the Guardians website, you can just type in your zip code, and it'll, because there's like Breezeline is a smaller company. Mm-hmm. And it says on there you can get that. So if you don't know, if you have a smaller company, just go to their website. It'll tell you all that stuff.
All right. So finally, we got our answer. So, Anthony, well, just a few more questions with you, but I know a lot of people have been asking about that. And we got to remind people, this was not a Guardians thing. This was an MLB thing, correct?
Yeah, it was. And I think it was kind of expected to go down to the wire, a little ninth inning drama for you here. And there's, yeah, I guess it's kind of fun to announce on opening day morning, hey, you can watch us on TV. Here you go. Here's where you find us. But I would encourage everybody to plop down the $99.99 a year for Cleveland Guardians TV, so my kids can go to college. But I think it's just in general.
Success.
We have been fast forwarded here in the last couple of years. You know, I think this is where this was always headed, and everything's kind of been put in hyperdrive because of the, you know, what happened with Bally Sports. And, you know, I can buy the MLB TV streaming is really cool. Like, if you're a big baseball fan, you can just bop around every game if you get the full package. But even if you just have the Guardians package, I mean, every game for $100 and You even have nice rain delay theater with the big inning, which I'm a big fan of as a national baseball guy. You know, I just put on big inning every night, and you're taken to the heart of every game. It's pretty fun.
So, Anthony, how am I going to improve my slice if there's not a rain delay? What the hell are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's going to be a brave new world, man. We're sorry, Jimmy Hanlon. rain delay, just perfect viewing. But now it's things have changed a lot very quickly. You know, I think the whole industry is kind of getting its head around where this is, where it's headed, and I think it has affected in the smaller markets. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty here where, you know, the guaranteed dollars from the TV contracts has changed, and now you know, the product you put on the field really drives things in terms of, you know, television interest for the streaming package. So really fascinating.
Yeah, I said earlier in the show, I think for the long term of the health of the sport and viewership and all of that, it's a good thing. But boy, is it ugly and messy right now in that sort of transition period of trying to get there. It's really, really clunky. But anyway.
Well, I will say, and I just want to add, I mean, yeah, fans have clamored for the blackouts to go away. And now
yes,
it's 27 of the 30 teams, their fans, I think it's all but the Astros, Nationals, and Orioles. All the other 27 teams, you don't have the local blackouts anymore, which is something that the regime at the top of MLB wanted. They wanted it just as much as the fans, believe
me. Yeah.
It was baked into the structure with the regional sports networks, and that's gone away. So now, you know, if you're a fan of a team, you have the streaming option right in your own backyard. That's pretty nice.
I want to ask you real quick. Gabby Arias and Brian Rocchio, two guys that seem to be competing for the job at shortstop for years. Neither one of them really were able to take hold of it. Then Rocchio claimed it last year, not necessarily by on-field performance until the playoffs, but now they're partners again on the field. Who saw that coming? Do you have faith in either or both of them to be long-term impact fixtures in this lineup? Man, I know everyone's out on Arias. He just turned 25. Like, he's not that old, guys.
Yeah, I'm not out on him. It wasn't a very, inspiring spring camp when you have, you know, these young guys competing for potential everyday spot in the big leagues, and really none of them won it. So Arias, you know, wins it, quote unquote, by virtue of being out of options.
Yeah.
So hopefully he takes it and runs with it. Rocchio, obviously, they have more faith in, and they kind of have to, the way, you know, with the Jimenez trade, they have to have faith in Rocchio.
Yeah.
And he has to just build off the confidence of that great playoff run that he had. That was great to see. That was kind of like a window into what they see that we really haven't seen. It's very iffy up the middle, and that's what concerns me as much as anything about this club, because you have to be strong. You got to hit the ball over the wall, as I said earlier, and you have to be strong up the middle, and right now they're pretty iffy up the middle.
Anthony, quickly, we got 30 seconds. Logan Allen is in the rotation today. What will that rotation look like by June?
Oh, man. Well, you probably have the Biebs in there. Selfishly, personally, I'm rooting for Tristan McKenzie to figure it out in the bullpen and translate that to the rotation eventually. I just know that what you see is not what you get right now. It's going to rotate. They do have a lot of options there. I do think Nikhazy is one to watch. Cantillo, of course, is one to watch as an option for them as things evolve. But your guess is as good as mine, man. It's a lot of variance with that group. And the most encouraging thing to come out of spring training was Gavin Williams and how good he looked, pretty widely identified as a breakout candidate for this year. But I think the complexion of the rotation is going to evolve a lot over the course of the year.
All right, Ant, appreciate you coming on and helping breaking some news with us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.